Love checking in on what TechCrunch has to offer. Sean O'Kane joining us again. And Sean, it's about a year ago, I remember Tesla takeover time when a lot of people were boycotting Tesla because of Elon Musk's involvement with the federal government and closing down certain programs. I had a guest on at the time, Sean, and asked, you know, are things bad or worse for Tesla, or are they maybe a little overblown? And he says they're worse than you could ever imagine. I mean, he pointed to a very stark picture of what it could be, just the brand of it at the time. And I read your story that they shrunk their capacity at a Texas factory. What's going on with Tesla, man?
I mean, great question. How much time do you have? we recently found out, thanks to some of the local news reporting in Austin, that the overall workforce shrunk at Tesla's Gigafactory in Texas, outside of Austin, from about 21,000 people in 2024 to a little over 16,000 people in 2025, which is, you know, a pretty significant jump down. That's about 22%. And this is a company that, you know, is one of the largest employers in the Austin area, one of the largest employers in the state. And you know, got some, you know, not enormous, but certainly not insignificant incentives from Austin and the state, some various agencies when they decided to build the factory there 5 or 6 years ago, that are tied to things like employment numbers and stuff. So this is one of the reasons why we even know these numbers to begin with. And you know, for me, I just find it interesting to see that there may have been some adjustments to the workforce within that factory as the sales declines have become real over the last 2 years.
I was just going to say, I mean, this has to be mirrored after what they're seeing for their sales. As more and more competition happens and the brand is what the brand is, and Elon Musk inserting himself in many ways, or some people would say he was serving the government. I don't know. It doesn't matter which side of the fence you're on with that. But no doubt the Tesla brand is not what it was 10 years ago, Sean.
Yeah, and I think the other thing to think about here, too, is this factory, I think a lot of people forget this, actually, including myself sometimes. When Tesla was originally pitching this factory, they were talking about this as the quote-unquote Cybertruck factory. This was the place where they were going to build hundreds of thousands of those trucks every year. And if you remember the original pitch for the Cybertruck when it was unveiled in 2019, aside from it just looking so crazy, was it was going to start at $40,000. That never happened, and now that truck itself is kind of a major bomb. They only sell a few thousand of them every quarter. And so I think there's probably an element of that too. Like, even if you remove some of the negative brand impact that Musk's actions and the government have had on the company itself, the fact that they were sort of staffing up to build a whole bunch of these Cybertrucks at this factory, and that's not really going to happen now anymore, and it's really just Model Y SUVs, is, you know, helps me understand a little bit more why they might have been able to dip so much in the workforce last year.
John, our newsman, Mr. David Jennings, has a question for you. Go ahead, David.
Thank you, sir. How much of this has to do with Elon Musk himself? How much of this is him, his thinking, his, I guess, inability to be linear like a lot of us are?
What a good way to put it. I mean, I think you could chalk it up to a lot is probably the simplest way to think about it. Like, there's not a lot that happens from the top down at Tesla without his stamp of approval on it. And, you know, I think there's an element here at play that you kind of see at a lot of his other companies that I like to think about as the kind of thing that connects them all is if he has one superpower, it is the ability to sort of very coldly consolidate down a workforce to the most loyal people to the cause of whatever company it's at.
Like X.
And I think there's probably, you know, some of that at play here too, where, you know, if you've got people who are barking about not being paid enough or, you know, maybe being a little overworked on the factory lines too much, like, you know, he'll find a way and his sort of underlings will find a way to, you know, concentrate that workforce down to the people who care the most about the mission.
I mean, competition has to be a big part of it. I mean, you have another story about a Jeff Bezos-backed electric vehicle. I feel like everyone's got an EV these days, and 10 years ago, it was only really Tesla. It wasn't, but that's what people thought of when they thought of EVs. They thought Tesla. Those two, like, terms were, like, synonymous, almost like Kleenex and tissue, right? Like, the brand became the item. That's not what it is anymore.
Well, I would push back on that. I actually think it still is, because I think, you know, I think there was some serious brand damage done that is still lasting to this day from all of the things that Elon Musk has done over the last, like, 2 years, call it. And I think one of the reasons that Tesla, I think, is frankly a little lucky to, you know, have a dip in sales but not an absolute collapse is that they are still synonymous with this. If you do want a vehicle like this at a relatively affordable price point, they're kind of the only game in town. This company that you just mentioned is one that is trying to change things, called Slate Auto. It's based in Michigan. They're going to be building these vehicles in Indiana. Their whole pitch, very simply, is an extremely low end vehicle. It's going to cost probably in the mid $20,000 range for the base price, and it's going to be dead simple. It's going to be crank windows, so no power windows, no screens or anything.
Wow!
You can you can customize it in a lot of different ways. Add speakers. Add a mount for like a tablet if you want like a big fancy infotainment system set up. But, you know, no paint on the car. It's just sort of composite panels, and they're going to let you put on custom wraps and stuff. That's a big bet to come at it from that direction. No one else is really doing anything like that in the automotive space, especially in the U.S. And, they have some serious backing from Jeff Bezos. He was invested in at the very least, their initial funding round in 2023 before anybody knew that this company existed. This week, they just announced they raised another $650 million. That's a lot of money. But in the automotive space, that really kind of isn't. So yeah. That's the tension here is, you know, you can raise $1 billion. Lucid Motors is a company that went public a couple years ago. That makes all electric vehicles. They raised $4 billion in their public merger, and they still are struggling to reach scale. Like, you need a lot of money in this business. And so this is just another, you know, big step, but another step sort of like in the process for Slate to try and get into production by the end of this year, which is what they say they're going to be able to do in Indiana.
Yeah, and I appreciate the pushback too, because there are other competition out there. But when you say I'm going to go buy an EV, I do think most people assume you're coming home with a Tesla. That may change as some of these other manufacturers catch up a bit. But like you're saying, it takes a ton of money, and Tesla's been there since kind of the beginning of this revolution and is still a stalwart in that. Okay, Sean, I appreciate your time. Come back again, okay?
Anytime.
It's always great to talk with Sean. Let's get him as a regular already and circle that name for me. He's great at TechCrunch. Oh, I got to mention TechCrunch, TechCrunch.com. Let's take a break, and that's where he writes and does great stuff.